Read this entire chapter. It's not a long chapter. It's only 14 verses. We'll read through these verses of Scripture, and we will see what the Lord has in store for us in these verses. And we're going to stay on this same theme, really, as to what we had during the Sunday school lesson. And we'll just sort of build off of that and look in at this chapter in that regard. In chapter number 5 of Revelation, if you have found your place and are able and willing, I would invite you to stand with us. And we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord this morning from Revelation in chapter number 5. The Word of God says, "And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy. Well, praise the Lord. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." What a crowd. "Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the 4 beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." You can be seated this morning. Thank you for standing with us while reading the Word of the Lord. I want to preach that the Lord will help me this morning out of verse number 9, especially is our text where the Bible says, "And they sung a new song." And I'm preaching this morning, if the Lord will help me, on a new song. "And they sung a new song." Now, Revelation chapter 4 tells us how that John had received an invitation to come up higher to another place, to a higher place, and to receive a vision of the future, to come up and to see the things which would be hereafter. And when he saw these things, he saw the throne of God. He saw the heavenly creatures round about that throne. He saw the splendor of God's majesty, and he heard the voices as they cried out, "Thou art worthy, O Lord." In chapter number 5, he continues this story or this account of the vision of the throne of God that he receives. And in chapter 5, he sees a book in the Lord's hand, and he sees the saints gathered around the throne. And the book is one of authority, and nobody except Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God, has the power to break the seal.
seals to reveal the secrets and to carry out the plan of God. When it's revealed to the saints that there was one, a Redeemer, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that He could open the book, He was told to weep not, for there is one that is worthy. And I will say it's still true today. There is one that is worthy. And it said He could open the book. And when they realized that, the saints rejoiced greatly. And they sang a new song. And this is our text this morning. A new song they sang. The phrase "a new song" is found in the Bible some 9 times. And the song they sang that day was, "Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy." It's the verse of the same thing that the 24 elders said in chapter 4. It's the same thing that the 4 beasts said in chapter 4. It's the same thing that the saints of God sing in chapter number 5. It's the same thing that those who are brought out of great tribulation sing in chapter 7. Thou art worthy. And it will be the eternal song throughout the ages when we reach the glory land. Thou art worthy. Back about 25 years ago, I preached out of the last verse of chapter 4 of Revelation, where it said, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." And I simply preached that He was worthy of glory in life. He was worthy of glory in our death. He's worthy of glory in the church. Amen. Thou art worthy. Hallelujah. 7 times in the Old Testament that phrase "a new song" is given. One of them was in our Sunday school lesson this morning in Psalm 33:3. "Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise." Psalm chapter 40 and verse number 3 said, "He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." Amen. Jesus will change your tune this morning. Psalm 96:1 said, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." Psalm 98:1 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory." I'm glad there's victory in Jesus today. Psalms 144 in verse number 9 says, "I will sing a new song unto Thee, O God, upon a psaltery and upon an instrument of 10 strings. I will sing praises unto Thee." Psalms 149 in verse number 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, sing ye to the Lord a new song in His praise in the congregation of the saints." Psalm or Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 10, "Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise from the end of the earth, that go down in the sea and all that are therein, the isles of the inhabitants thereof." Regardless of where you are, what continent, what planet, what place, what city, what country. Oh, if there are folks on another planet, them too. Sing unto the Lord and praise Him, for He is worthy of our praise. Revelation chapter number 5 and verse number 9 is the 8th time in the Bible that phrase "a new song" is listed. And it said, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy." And then in chapter number 14 of Revelation, it says, "And I look, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Sinai, and with Him 144,000, having His Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, and the voice of many waters, as the voice of great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." You realize that though that when the Lord saved us, He gave us a new song from that of the world. It's no longer loving and leaving. It's no longer finding love in all the wrong places, or looking for love in all the wrong places. It's no longer, my friend, a sad song or a song of depression. oppression or distress, but it is a song of praise unto the Lord. That even with our song of praise while we sing here, we know not what we will sing when we get over there. When we get there, we'll sing a song we can't sing while we're here. How we don't have a glorified body while we're here. We may be off tune a little bit. We may be out of rhythm slightly. How we may be slightly off pitch, or for some of us, grossly off pitch. At times, the tone quality might not be there. Oh, but someday with a new body and a new voice in that body, in a land where we'll never grow old, where my voice will never tire nor grow, and my song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me. And now sing it while the ages shall roll. I'm telling you, there's a new song. There's a new song that we're going to sing when we get there. We'll sing a new song. And in this chapter that we're reading this morning, they sang a new song. Hallelujah. And to my friend, when they sang that song, it was such that said, "Thou art worthy." And when they sang the song about His worthiness, about His worth, about His right to receive worship, they sang a song about the book. And they said, "Thou art worthy to take the book." And this book that is in the right hand of God. End of verse number 1. And this book that is sealed with 7 seals. And my friend, that is written on both the outside and the inside. Thou art worthy to take that book. It's a book, my friend, that is in the hand of the Lord. And He said, "Thou art worthy." John said, "I saw that book. And I realized that book was so precious. I wanted somebody to open that book." But when they looked all through heaven, and they looked all through earth, and they looked under the earth, and no man was found worthy to open the book. And it broke John's heart, and he wept. Inside that book contained the wisdom and the secrets of God. It contained the knowledge of the Lord. And John said, "I wanted to know what was in that book. I wanted to know what was in the mind and the heart of God. But since no one could open it, I wept. Until one came to me of the elders and said, 'Weep not. There is one that is worthy to open the book. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. The Lamb of God is worthy to open the book and to break the seals thereof.'" And he did, friend. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, when we get to heaven, we're going to sing, "Thou art worthy to open the book." We're going to sing a new song about the book, that sovereign book. And chapter 5 and verse 1 shows us it's in the hand of God. It's in, my friend, the hand of the sovereign. And not only that, He has it sealed with a sovereign seal, 7 seals. On the outside of that book, nobody knows. And my friend, the contents, except for the Lord. It's a book about sovereign revelation. It's a book about sovereign secrets. It's a book that can only be opened or understood by a sovereign God. How you see, the natural man understandeth not the things of God. And my friend, they're hidden from him. But the Spirit searcheth out these things. And my friend, this Bible is spiritually discerned. If we'll understand it, we'll have to have God's help. It belongs to the Lord. It's in the hands of God. Oh, but Psalm 24 and 1 said, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and all that dwell therein." This book belongs to a sovereign God. And it is a sovereign book. When we sing about this book, we'll sing about a sealed book. At chapter 5 and verse 1 said there's 7 seals on it. And now the Roman law required that a wheel, if a man were to make out a wheel under Roman law, if he were a Roman citizen, that make a wheel, a last will and testament, and that he sealed that last will and testament in order for it to be a legal wheel. While he was living, he had to seal it with 7 seals. Amen. My friend, when a king, a Caesar, Augustus, Augustus died, his will had been sealed with seven seals. Following this Roman law, following this Roman governance, the only way that you could pass on a legal will to another was for it to have been sealed with seven seals. And so when those in John's day read and saw how that this book was sealed with seven seals, it reminded them that it was official. It reminded them that it was certified. Amen. And it also reminded them that the contents of it could only be discovered by an authorized person. And not just anyone could open the seals. And my friend, you had to have the authority to break those seals and to read it therein, friend. It also reminded them that the contents of this book had been given by a living Lord. For last will and testament can only be written while the testator lives. And my friend, our God, through His life, had given us a book that was sealed in His hand. And my friend, His sovereign purpose and plan was contained on the inside. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. I'm glad He broke the seals for me one day, gave me insight into the Word of God, and let me read inside the book. Hallelujah. I praise the Lord for revelation. And my friend, line upon line, and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, it's in the hand of the Lord. But I'm glad the Lion of the tribe of Judah has broken the seals, and let us view what the will of God is for our lives. Hallelujah, it's a sealed book. And then I want to tell you, not only that, friend, they're going to sing about the book because it is a sorrowful book. I mean, friend, it is. Though it was, that it was a book that sealed and showed the victory of God and the victory of the saints, it also showed the defeat of the heathen and the destruction of this whole world. And my friend, the demise of the devil. Amen. There were judgments and violence of wrath that were contained in this book from Revelation chapter number 6 through chapter 8. The seven seals are broken, and with the breaking of every seal there's a new judgment, and God's plan reveals a glory for His people, but it also includes vengeance against His enemies. And this book is a two-sided book. Amen. It's a scroll. When we talk about it being a book, that's our terminology. In the times of John, better said it was a scroll. It was rolled up, the book was. It was rolled up. And then it was sealed all the way down. And that scroll, once you rolled it out, it was written on the inside and on the outside. Both sides of the scroll contained a message. Hallelujah. And the scroll, the message on the inside, as the seals were broken, the revelation came to pass. And the message that was on the outside, or rather on the outside, was shown. And as every seal was broken, judgment was revealed. As every seal was broken, sin was defeated. As every seal was broken, and my friend God had judged His enemies. And the scroll had a message on the outside, and the message was to the world, you lose. To the devil, you lose. To the flesh, you lose. But it was written on the other side, and I'm glad I know what the other side of the story is today. Hallelujah. It's not just loss and judgment and destruction and death and damnation, but turn the scroll over this morning. See the other side of the story. And my friend, on the inside, it said the Lamb's got a wife. There's a bride that's prepared. There's a city that's built. There's glory that's awaiting hereafter. I'm glad I know the other side of the story. I'm glad I know, my friend, what's on the inside of the book. Praise God, we're going to win. Hallelujah. That's why they sang about the book.
And then they sung a new song, not only about the book, but they sang a new song about the blood. Hallelujah. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. Why? For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. They sang about the blood. It's the blood that puts us on the right side of this book. It's the blood that redeemed us from judgment and reserved us for glory. And they sang about the blood. It's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It's still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. And I feel when we get to heaven, we're going to sing a new song about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll sing about the cross on which the blood was shed. They sang, "Thou wast slain. He became a curse for us. He took our place on the cross. He took the cup at the Last Supper, and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" When we get to heaven, we're going to be singing about the cross. When we get to heaven, we're going to be singing about the cost. The blood that Jesus paid for us. The price of our redemption was not silver or gold. The price of our redemption was that God gave heaven's best for sinners to be saved. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." He was seen in this book prevailing not only as the Lion of the tribe of Judah and my friend, but also as the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Oh, praise God. I won't ever forget hearing that old holiness preacher preach when I was a teenage boy of this passage on the Lion that became a lamb and the Lamb that became a lion. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. When he came to earth, he was a lion that became a lamb. But when he left this whole world, he became, went back to the throne of God. He was a lamb that became a lion. Hallelujah. Oh, praise his dear name. We'll sing about the cost that was paid when we get to heaven. We'll sing about the coverage that was given for us. Hallelujah, friend. The blood covered it all. Our sins are covered. Our sins are gone because of the blood. It was sufficient for all nations. He said, "For all nations, out of every, I redeemed us to God by that blood of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." And my friend, Jesus' blood was sufficient for every man that you might be saved. Hebrews 2 and 9, "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." I'm telling you, to preach that Jesus only died for some is heresy. It is heresy, friend. It is anti-Bible, anti-God. It is, I believe, it is blasphemy to preach that Jesus only died for some. He died for the sins, tasted death for every man, died for the sins of the whole world. That's 1 Timothy 2 and 6. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. 2 Peter 3 and 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, for not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And the next step that we take in our study in John 3:16 will be the bulldozing words of that verse. That is the words that whosoever, it bulldozes away the mountains of Calvinism and limited atonement and reminds us that red, white, yellow, black, and Jesus died for everybody, and rich or poor, young or old, American and Russian and African. It does not matter. God said his son to die for every man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to sing when we get to heaven about the coverage. I have a friend who I dearly love, who has preached for us in this pulpit,
who has decided to go another route. And he has joined himself up with the Church of Christ. And he has denounced his baptism, he said, into the Baptist church, which we don't baptize into the Baptist church anyway. If you're baptizing scripturally, you're baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. And then your outward baptism is a mirror image of your inward baptism. That is, the baptism of the natural man is also a reflection of being baptized into Christ, not baptized into the church or into the water. Amen. But water baptism cannot save, neither is it essential for salvation. And he has denounced his Baptist baptism and then sought to be baptized into Christ by a Church of Christ minister, and is now serving as some sort of officer or elder in the Church of Christ. But I'm telling you something, friend, listen to me. And they think the only ones who can go to heaven are those who have been baptized into the Church of Christ. I don't know if you know that or not. Their doctrine is such that unless you have been baptized by a Church of Christ preacher, into my friend, into Christ, by their denomination, then you can't go to heaven. But I'm telling you, friend, when we get to glory, we're not going to stand there and sing about how glorious that preacher was that dunked us out of the water, or that church was that received us into membership. But we're going to sing about the glorious Lamb of God that washed away all of our sins. And it will not just be Church of Christ, or Baptist, or Methodist, or Pentecostal. I know that it bursts some people's bubbles in the Baptist church, but these folks that aren't Baptists that are saved, I'm telling you, some friend, and all redeemed of God are going to a land far better than this. Hallelujah. All that whosoever word bulldozes down all those things. We may just do that tonight. I don't know. May just jump back in to John 3:16-9 and grab a hold of the levers of that bulldozer and crank it up. I praise God. Pour it in thick in diesel fuel. I get to make church warmed up just right. Crank it up and bulldoze our way through the lies of Calvinism and false religion. Jesus died for everybody. Gave His life a ransom. When we get to heaven, we'll sing about the coverage. His blood covered it all. Hallelujah. Right. Hallelujah. When we get to heaven, we'll sing, my friend, about the book. We'll sing about the blood. We'll sing about the bride when we get to heaven. Hallelujah. I mean, friend, won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. Praise God. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day! What a day that'll be. I'm going to sit down beside my Jesus. I'm going to rest a little while. Oh, praise the Lord. It'll be a glad reunion day when we get there. I tell you, all the saints of God will be gathered on that day. I say, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Praise the dear Lamb of God. I mean, friend, this congregation was not made up in verses 9 and 10 of paying customers. I was at the Alabama game yesterday. I mean, there's a whole lot of red, a whole lot of crimson in the Georgia Dome. But you know how they got there? They had to pay their way in. They won't nobody be in heaven because they paid their way in. It'll be by the crimson, but not by the crimson tie. It'll be by the crimson flag. It'll be by the blood of Jesus. It'll be by flood of Christ. Am I feeling that river that flows from Emmanuel's vein? Am I feeling it'll not be by paying customers? How when we get there, we won't just be faceless masses like we saw last night in Times Square. Oh, but I'm telling you, when we get there, we'll be the Lamb's wife. We'll be the bride of Christ. We'll be the dearly beloved of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know I'm not anybody special, but I know somebody who's made me special, and somebody to whom I am special. And Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, and the word of the Lord is right. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to sing about the bride. God has redeemed us out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto kings, or God have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I mean, what a day it'll be to sing about that bride. Revelation 21:9 said, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked to me, saying, Come up hither," hallelujah, "and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife," hallelujah. I have never been a bride in this world, nor do I desire to be one. Amen. I used to preach this and just say I had never been a bride, but I'm going to make sure I clarify in the generation we're living in that I don't want to be a bride. Amen. Because this is a weird world we're living in, with a bunch of Fruit Loops and weirdos and perverts in our society. But there won't be none of them when we get to heaven. Amen. That's exactly right. You realize all those abusers themselves of mankind's going to hell, don't you? That's what the book says. That without those that were cast in the lake of fire, the liars, and the thieves, and my friend, the abusers themselves, but mankind, I'm talking about all them people, and my friend, those men that have denied the natural lusts, and the natural things, and lusted after like kind and flesh, and men are chasing after men, and women after women, and their perversity and in their sin. I'll tell you, it's dirty, and it's nasty, and it's perverse, and it's unnatural, and it's ungodly, and it's sinful, it's wicked, and my friend, doesn't matter what the Supreme Court has to say about it. The word of the Lord is right. Amen. I have never been a bride in this world. I've been a groom. And I remember what it was like to get married and not be the bride. I don't know if you men realize this or not. Those of you that are married, those of you young men who are not yet married, you might want to make a note of this. The wedding day is not about you.
That's right.
Hate to burst your bubble or anything. What you want to happen at the wedding really doesn't matter. The wedding day is not about you. It's about the bride. When's the last time you went to a wedding and heard everybody standing around ogling and carrying on and saying, "Ain't that such a pretty groom? Isn't he such a pretty groom?" And my friend, if some limp-wristed fellow says that, throw him out. Amen. And praise God. The wedding day is about the bride. There is no telling how many services, the wedding ceremonies that I have conducted over the years. I have never conducted a single solitary wedding ceremony that was about the groom. The one that I was a groom in was not about the groom. It was about the bride. Nobody played on the piano, "Here comes the groom." I mean, we didn't even get to walk down the main aisle. The groom and the preacher had to come in the back door. Amen. I'm telling you, the wedding was about the bride. And what I'm saying to you is, hallelujah, that's the kind of promotion God is going to give His children. That's the kind of treatment God is going to give His church. He's going to parade us down the golden streets of heaven and say, "Here's the bride. Here's the Lamb's wife. Here's the dearly beloved of my soul." Woo! I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Hallelujah. I mean, in the Lamb's bride. Hallelujah. When we get there, He'll honor us. Oh, what a day that's going to be. No wonder we'll sing a new song. Well, we'll sing about the bride because we are a related people. You know, when we come into the wedding ceremonies, they usually say the groom's people are sitting over here and the bride's people are sitting over there. I go into weddings where I know both the bride and the groom, and I'm not sure where to sit. I mean, I'm not sure how to declare whose side that I'm on. Amen. It's like there's a civil war taking place, and you got to take sides one against the other. And they hadn't even said "I do" yet, and they're already fighting each other. And everybody's seen him taking sides. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? And hadn't even gotten married yet, and they're already taking sides. But when we get to heaven, there won't be a divided congregation. There won't be, "Well, if you're on the groom's side, sit here. If you're on the bride's side, sit here. If you're on the groom's side when you get to heaven, you are on the bride's side." Hallelujah. I mean, it'll be a unified party. And we are related. We are kindred. We are the people of God. We were foreigners in and strangers, but His blood has made us one. How Revelation 7 and 9 said, and after this I behold, lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nation and kindred and people and tongues, has stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation unto our God which sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. He'll bring us from the four corners of the earth, north, south, east, and west, and He'll make us one in His bride. We're related people. Then we'll sing about the bride because we're a royal people. Hallelujah. If I sound like a rich man, it's because that's what I am. Hallelujah. Not in finances. Matter of fact, it seems like that gets tighter every day. Not in finances. Oh, friend, hallelujah. But praise God, there's something worth a lot more than silver and gold that I'm rich in. Hallelujah. Oh, praise His name. Bless His dear name. Well, it was fun. It was nice. It was a pleasure to be able to put bicycles and video games and blankets and pillows and that kind of stuff up under the Christmas tree for my children. It was a privilege to be able to gather around and to watch them pull stuff out of the stocking, out of a sock that hung on a chimney. That was a blessing. Oh, friend, but what is a greater blessing? It's to gather around with Him around the Word of God, and to sing, my friend, the songs of God, and to have the peace of God in our hearts. A fire can wipe out the natural things. And my friend, a change in employment, I can wipe out the financial things. Our circumstances, I may eliminate some of the comforts of life, but every devil in hell can take Jesus out of my heart. Woo! Oh, bless His name. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, friend, the treasures that come with serving God are things that all the devils in the world cannot stop. Are things that sickness and death cannot rob from us. We laid our treasures up in heaven where mouth and dust cannot corrupt, and where thieves cannot break through and steal. And where your treasure is, woo, there your heart will be also. My feet carry me wherever I may go, but my heart is already home. Praise God, my heart's yonder in heaven's world. Woo! Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Sickness and old age, disease and accidents can take the people that I love and strip all the life out of them. Amen. Oh, but He can't do nothing to them that heaven won't fix in full.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Amen.
Bless His dear name.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Bless His name. We're a royal people. Hallelujah. Woo! A sinner now saved, blood washed by the Lamb. My brother's a king, the son of I am. Sometimes I forget to whom I belong. Then the sweet spirit cries, oh, my child, I'm still on the throne. Woo! We're a royal people, hallelujah. Woo! Oh, bless His name. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9 said, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Praise His name. We're a royal people.
Right.
We're going to sing a new song about the bride, how they're related, how they're royal. We're going to sing a song of how they reign. How they reign. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse number 10 said, He has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I can't help it. Some folks don't believe that. I'm just reading what the Bible says. And they shall reign on the earth. 2 Timothy 2:12 said, if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. I will rule and reign 1,000 years. How do you know it's going to be that long? Only because the Bible said so. That's the only way I knew it'd be that long, just because the Bible said so. Amen. And I believe this by blood. I believe in a literal interpretation of the Bible. And I don't mean to ride a horse again this Sunday, but I'm telling you, if I believed that the Garden of Eden was a real place, that the lion's den was a real place, that the fiery furnace had a real fire, that the whale in Jonah's life was a real whale, and I took all those passages of God literally, how in the world am I supposed to take, my friend, a white horse in 1,000 years and reigning on the earth as something other than literal, if I'm going to take everything else in the Bible as literal? And if this is not literal, how do I know John 3:16 is literal? Maybe it's an allegory. Maybe it's a figment. But I'm telling you, friend, hey, thank God. I believe in this Bible because the Word of the Lord is right.
The Word of the Lord is right.
We're going to reign. All right, so maybe you don't believe you're going to reign on the earth. Maybe you don't believe that you're going to, that there's going to be 1,000 years, literally. Maybe you don't believe in a literal white horse. I'll allot it to you that it's very possible that I'm mistaken in interpreting these things. But I'm going to tell you this much, whether you believe on all those things literally or not, you better know this. When we get to heaven, we will not be servants. When we get to the other world beyond this life, we will not be slaves or servants. And we won't be floating around somewhere in between heaven and hell, toting chains in our hands, trying to find a place of rest. Oh, when we get to the other side, we are going to rule and reign. We are going to rest in Christ. We'll be part of His bride. And my friends, we will. I'm not like nothing there. We will. I'll be supreme with Him when we get there. Heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. A reigning people. A new song. I'm finished preaching. You can come on with a song this morning. And they sung a new song. Those who are saved right now sing a new song today because we know the Lord. But on that day, we'll sing a song that even the church doesn't know how to sing in this world. And I want to remind you of something. You want to be ready for that day to come. I've already said it, but I'm going to roll back to it now. This scroll was two-sided. There was a message outside and a message inside. The message outside was to the world. Bad news, you lose. The message on the inside was to the church. Good news, we win. You need to get on the right side of the book. If you are this morning living in opposition to God, church, and the Bible, you're on the wrong side of the book. And only the Lamb can prevail to break the seals and to show you what's on the inside.
Amen. Right.
Today's the day to get on the right side of the book.
Yes, sir.
Now's the time to get things right with God. There's a great day coming when the saint and the sinner shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for the day to come? Are you on the right side of the book? Are you sure you're saved? Are you a part of the bride? Today's the day to get it right. Everybody stand. You need to pray. The invitation's been given. The sermon's been preached. The Holy Ghost dealing with your heart. Now's the time to do business with the Lord. Now's the time to call on God and ask Him for help in your life.